Coming out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 10. Just one scripture. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. So when two things happen, you get two things. It's interesting. So I want to talk for a couple of minutes on the subject whole understanding. Whole understanding. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It was Saturday morning. Karen and young Timmy were told to go downstairs and make pancakes. Young Timmy looks at his sister and says, "I got this, big sis." So young Timmy runs down the stairs, meanders into the kitchen, and directs himself to the pantry where all the pancake stuff is kept. He takes out a bag of flour, the bag of sugar, a box of baking powder, and some salt. He goes to the refrigerator, pulls out a gallon of milk, a box of eggs, a stick of butter. He stops, looks at everything, shakes his head with a look of certainty. With a smile on his face, young Timmy yells out, "Pancakes are ready!" Family comes downstairs and looks on the counter and asks young Timmy, "Where are the pancakes?" Young Timmy points to the ingredients on the counter, says, "They're right here." His dad, looking puzzled, says, "Timmy, those aren't pancakes." Young Timmy looks around, scratches his head, and then says, "Oh, I got it." He runs back to the cabinet, grabs another bag of flour, another bag of sugar, some more butter, and proudly declares, "Sorry, I forgot how much we eat. Now we got ourselves some pancakes." Young Timmy's older sister, Karen, says, "Timmy, these are not pancakes. Those are ingredients. What you need is a recipe." So Karen whips out her cookbook, turns to the page for pancakes, and proudly begins to read aloud to the family the following statement. "In a large bowl, sift together the flour, baking powder, salt, and sugar. Make a well in the center and pour in the milk, egg, and melted butter. Mix until smooth. Heat a lightly oiled griddle or frying pan over medium-high heat. Pour or scoop the batter onto the griddle, using approximately 1/4 cup for each pancake. Brown on both sides and serve hot." While speaking, she's pointing to the bowl and to the sifter, and she points to the frying pan and the spatula. Closing the book, she looks up at her family, smiles, and says, "Now we got ourselves some pancakes." Dad looks at her like she's lost her mind. "Karen, we do not have pancakes." Karen looks at her dad, goes deep into thought, and says, "Oh, forgive me. I realize that in my explanation, the rubber hasn't really met the road, has it? I need to make this a little more real." And her dad smiles and says, "That is certainly one way to put it." So Karen picks up the bowl and says, "In this large bowl, sift the flour, baking powder, salt, and sugar, and with this sifter," and Dad at this point, ripping his hair out almost, interrupts her and says, "Karen, this is not show and tell. It doesn't matter how much you read and reread a recipe, it's not the same thing as having pancakes. We cannot eat your words. Look, just stand back. Will you two just watch me?" And the two kids watched as their dad measured and poured in the flour, the baking powder, the salt and sugar into the bowl and mixed it, and they watched as he followed all the rest of the steps all the way to cooking. And the aroma filled the room, and finally, at last, they had themselves some pancakes. And that is how you make an entire church hungry. You know I'm not lying. Now, I'm sure most of us and here can laugh at this story, and some of us did, and laugh at the lack of common sense shown by young Timmy and Karen. But I didn't come here to talk about pancakes with you. I came to talk to you about survival. When you and I step out those two doors after service, we'd better know how to cook up some survival, because if we can't, life can hurt a lot more than a morning without pancakes. And I'm not just talking about survival, but I'm talking about Christian survival. See, the world has a different definition. In the world, survival means living to to see another day. Doesn't matter if I wake up with no peace, I survived. Doesn't matter if I'm in debt up to my ears, I've survived. Doesn't matter if multiple areas in my life are in turmoil, I have survived. But that is not Christian survival, because my Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus did say, in this world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus was talking about you and me, those who have been born again of the water and the Spirit. And not just you and me, but Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was also talking about the church. And I don't really get the defeatist image of a Christian who spends their life getting their teeth kicked in by the devil. I don't get that image. Eyes only on the sweet by and by while we endure the rough here and now. But the God of my Bible did not save us just to keep us breathing for one more day. We don't come to church to get the favor of God just so we can grunge it from day to day. That's the world's survival, but that is not Christian survival. My Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if we're going to take the time to come to church this Wednesday night, we might as well learn how to cook up some Christian survival. But you can't come in here like young Timmy and Karen tried to do, because that type of cooking will get you killed in the real world. Today's scripture gave the key. It read, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. I want to be preserved, amen? Does anyone in here want to be preserved? Do you want to make it? I want to be kept. Do y'all want to be kept, or do you want to get lost in the shuffle? My Bible says discretion will preserve me, and understanding will keep me. Instead of trying to cook up pancakes, we need to cook up discretion and understanding, because those are the things that will preserve us and keep us. But the word says that if you want those type of pancakes, you don't get flour and milk. You need knowledge and wisdom. Now, let's step back for a second and ask, what is discretion? Discretion is defined as the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. So if you don't have knowledge and wisdom, or knowledge or wisdom, you don't have the freedom to decide. Your ignorance will decide for you. You may think you're deciding, but how can you decide between options if you don't know God's option? People often make bad decisions because they decide that they have no other choice, but they decide that because they lack the knowledge and the wisdom that would have produced discretion, which is the freedom to decide what should be done. So discretion sounds good. Choosing right will preserve you, but the scripture goes on to say understanding will keep you. If we pull up Proverbs 4 and 7. It reads, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. In the South, they might say, for God's sake, get some understanding, boy. The scripture tells us, although wisdom is the main ingredient or the principal thing, that in all you're getting of wisdom, you must get understanding. Wisdom is knowing what to do, but knowing what to do is not the same as doing it. So the bottom line is, discretion means having the ability to make the right choices, and understanding is being convinced enough to actually make those right choices because you know that God honors his word and honors his principles. But you don't just wake up with discretion and you are not born with understanding. You see, the father who made the pancakes had discretion and had understanding. He knew how to make decisions. He understood how things work to a degree that he could actually do it and would do it and did do it. But too many of us are like young Timmy, and some of us are like Karen. We get it, but we don't really get it. The Bible says that we will get discretion and understanding when two things happen. when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Brothers and sisters, we need knowledge and wisdom before we can ever get discretion and understanding. Christian survival only comes from having discretion and understanding. But in order to get those things, we need knowledge and wisdom. I thought I'd say it in reverse. And this is where most of us mess up. We end up acting like Karen or young Timmy. Timmy had all the ingredients, didn't he? The flour, the milk, the eggs, and everything else. But having ingredients does not mean you have pancakes. And look, I am glad that you're here on a Wednesday night to hear the word. If you read your Bible, I'm glad you read it because that's where the ingredients are. That's the knowledge. Some people aren't in the word, so they don't even have the ingredients. They don't get the knowledge. Somebody needs to tell me how you're going to make pancakes without any flour. I don't know how you do that. That's why Bible quizzing is so powerful, because you're stocking up on knowledge, getting pantries full of knowledge, stocking up big time on the ingredients. You need to hear preaching so you can get biblical knowledge. You need to get in the word to get biblical knowledge. But knowledge alone is not enough. Ingredients alone are not enough. When you walk out that door and trouble comes, maybe not tonight, I don't want to throw a curse over the church, but when trouble comes, it will come at some point. Don't think opening your Bible and mindlessly reciting scripture is going to do anything. The devil is not a vampire. You can't make him go away by showing a crucifix or a scripture or a church attendance card. You need knowledge, you do need those ingredients, but you've got to know how to turn them into pancakes. It's more than just being able to quote Acts 2:38 or John 3:16. You've got to get knowledge, but it's more than just getting knowledge. Now, I said it's more than just getting knowledge, and y'all thought I was going to go to wisdom. I'm still on knowledge, though. It's more than just getting knowledge, because the Bible says when knowledge is pleasant to your soul. When my pastor says something from the Word of God, or if I read the Bible and I read something, I say to myself, well, I just don't agree with that. That's like being in the supermarket and taking the flour out of my little buggy and putting it right back on the shelf. It isn't enough just to hear the knowledge, but it has to be pleasant to your soul. Timmy was good to run to the cabinet and get those eggs and flours. You've got to get that flour. You've got to get the Word. You've got to get knowledge. But don't turn your nose up when the recipe asks for baking powder. Yuck, I don't like baking powder. I don't want that stuff in my pancakes. Awkward silence. There are things in the Word that our carnal nature does not like. The carnal mind is at enmity with the Spirit of God. But when you fall in love with the character of God and you know that whatever he cooks up is going to be good, then you don't turn your nose up at the baking powder or the fasting or the holiness standards, because knowledge is pleasant to your soul. But even if you love knowledge, can't stop there if you want to cook up Christian survival. We can stop, or we can't stop, where Karen stopped, knowing what to do, but not getting it through her head that this is not a talk, it's a walk. Knowing what to do is called wisdom. Wisdom explains how you apply knowledge, just like a recipe explains how you apply ingredients together. Now, we've all seen people with tons of wisdom, but they never do anything with it. You know, the guy who knows everything about investments, but does not have an account anywhere. They want to teach people what they need to be doing. Folks always want to get in a religious argument. In church, sometimes we call some people like that hypocrites. Heard one person say, that guy's straight as a gun barrel and twice as empty. We laugh, but don't be too quick to judge them, because you and I might be sitting right there with them. The Bible isn't just filled with what is right and what is wrong, but sometimes it tells you what wise ways to function. The book of Proverbs is an excellent book full of wisdom. And every time you come to hear biblical preaching, God's wisdom should come across the pulpit. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood in front of the multitudes and shared knowledge about how the people had killed Jesus and who he was, that he was the Messiah. And when the people heard this, they desperately asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And that's when Peter didn't just give them more knowledge, but he gave them wisdom about what to do. He said, "Repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not for tradition, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." If there's a preacher, he needs to be sharing some wisdom to you from the Bible and telling you what the Bible says you ought to do, because ignorance is painful. And when we preach with the preacher, that's our way of saying, yes, that wisdom is of the Lord. I agree with that. But brothers and sisters, it is not enough to be able to go out there, outside of here, and just know what we're supposed to do, be able to explain what we're supposed to do, but not be doing it. It's more than yelling out at church, "That's right, preacher, you got to beat those eggs and sift that flour, praise God." Preach with them. Something in you has to click and say, not only do I know what to do, not only do I agree that it should be done, but I must be persuaded to do it. It's not enough to be wise. I'll give you an example. King Solomon, anyone heard of him? Okay. He was the wisest natural man to ever walk the earth. Nobody was wiser than King Solomon. But you'll notice that the Bible did not say he was the most understanding or most discerning man. He was the wisest man. And in spite of all of the wisdom that Solomon had, in his last years, he was worshiping other gods. And when he died, the kingdom was broken apart because of his sins. All because somewhere down the line, Solomon decided that he was so wise, he didn't have to follow wisdom. Somewhere down the line, Solomon thought that knowing what to do alone would protect him. The Word of God, for example, said not to marry wives outside of Israel, but Solomon started marrying all kind of wives and taking all kind of concubines. He went for the gold, and it was those very women who pulled him away from God. Now, I'm glad you're in the church. Praise God, you're hearing the Word of God. But if all we do is leave church with nothing more than the ability to repeat a sermon or explain to someone what to do, but we are not convinced to the point of doing it ourselves, we may have wisdom, we may have the recipe, but we can't cook up any Christian survival, because we need discernment. In short, we need whole understanding. So, what is understanding? Understanding is when the knowledge and the wisdom clicks in your head. Knowledge says the pan is hot. Wisdom says, if I touch the pan, I will get burned. But a child might still touch that pan because they lack understanding. Their curiosity insists that it might not be true, or their curiosity wants to know for certain that it's true. And after they touch it, they understand. They have whole understanding. Biblically speaking, many people may know the scriptures and say, "He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and give, and it shall be given unto you." They have that biblical knowledge. They have that biblical ingredients. They may even have biblical wisdom. They may be able to explain that to someone, that if I am a giver, then I open myself up to be blessed. And if I hoard what I have, I will end up producing much less. They have biblical wisdom. They know what to do and why to do it. But even with that knowledge and wisdom, many do not act on that knowledge and wisdom because they do not have the understanding that God is really going to back that up. It hasn't clicked. There's something getting in the way that's preventing the Word of God from producing fruit. Something that is preventing knowledge and wisdom from becoming understanding. What is blocking us from acting? I'm glad you asked. You all remember the parable of the sower sowing the seed? Remember that? The word fell on good ground, produced 30, 60, 100-fold. Y'all remember that? But before getting to the good ground, Jesus explained that if that same word fell on different types of ground, like the stony ground or the thorny ground, it would not produce. There was the stony ground, which meant the word did not have depth. It couldn't get deep. That person had not taken in enough of God's knowledge and wisdom to produce that understanding. And so when the persecutions came or trials came, even though they knew what they should do, some other thinking kicked in. Something else was in that ground. Very few people will take three scriptures or a bunch of sermons and then stand on the word based on that alone. But some of us come Sunday after Sunday, even Wednesdays, and we load up on the word. But still, when the moment of truth comes, our choice reveals that we really didn't trust in the word of God. We have biblical knowledge and wisdom, but we've got stones that are taking the place of where that knowledge and wisdom should be spreading. And I'll come back to talk about those boulders, those stones in a minute. But before I do, I want to talk about the thorny ground. Imagine there are no boulders. You've got godly knowledge and wisdom that you're putting in your head that should be producing understanding. But there are thorns, which Jesus defined as the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible tells us to care for the kingdom and trust in the Lord. The world tells us to care about our business and trust in money and what money can provide. This means there's biblical knowledge and wisdom, and there's worldly knowledge and wisdom. Both worlds have knowledge and wisdom, but the world's knowledge and wisdom can choke out the fruit that comes from biblical knowledge and wisdom. And actually, it's more than just worldly knowledge and wisdom. It's really worldly understanding, isn't it? Because the true reason we didn't follow the biblical knowledge or biblical wisdom is because deep down inside, we know how the world works and that we're putting ourselves at risk obeying the word of the Lord. We have worldly understanding, and that worldly understanding often tells us that if we follow the Bible's knowledge and wisdom, we are making ourselves vulnerable. We might even be slitting our own throat. Worldly understanding says, don't tithe when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. That makes sense to you. It makes sense to me if I'm operating with worldly understanding. But if I've already trusted God in this area and honored the Lord with the tithe when I didn't know how I was going to make it and then saw God move in a miraculous way to provide and honor his word, now I don't have just biblical knowledge and wisdom, but I have understanding. Now the worldly understanding of not tithing, that doesn't hold weight with me anymore because I have whole understanding of God's word in that area. You see, boulders and thorns, those are just different forms of understanding. They represent the common sense that we learn living in this world, how we understand things work. And often the Bible will give knowledge that is in conflict with the world's knowledge. The Bible says God is my source. My paycheck says my boss is my source. The Bible can give wisdom that conflicts with the world's wisdom. The Bible says pray for your enemies. The world says slay or fillet your enemies. And it doesn't matter how much word we hear, read, or study, it will not function if we have not obtained whole understanding. You know, we all expect and hope that serving God will make our lives better. A show of hands of anyone who came here for their life to become worse. We want our eternity to be better, that we will become different than what we once were. If you can pull up Romans 12 and 2, it reads, it's Paul talking, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to be transformed, but the Bible says that this transformation does not come from the laying on of hands necessarily. It doesn't say it comes from praying and fasting necessarily. I'm not against either of those things, and neither is the Bible. But this scripture says transformation comes from a renewing of your mind. It's about what's going on in between your ears. That doesn't sound too exciting, but that's the Bible. Don't put away the baking powder. But we learned that to cook up who we are in Jesus, we need more than just knowledge and wisdom. If in all my wisdom, I do not get understanding, then I will not act on it when the moment comes. You know, a fool is defined as someone who knows what to do but does not do it. A wise man heard the words of Jesus and did them. He built his house on the rock. The foolish man also heard the words of Jesus but did not follow them. He built his house on the sand. We know the end of the story. Now, both had knowledge and perhaps both had wisdom. But because the wise man had understanding, his discretion led him to act on the knowledge and wisdom that he knew. The foolish man had different knowledge and wisdom at play. Maybe he saved a ton of money on purchasing the land on the sand instead of the rock. Maybe he paid less in labor since he didn't have to dig in the rock. Or maybe he had a better view on the sand. There were reasons. There was worldly understanding that was built on worldly knowledge and wisdom, but it resulted in the fall of his house. The Bible says, and great was the fall. With all my talk of knowledge and wisdom, if I stopped now, you would just still have knowledge and wisdom on this topic. If discretion will preserve us and understanding will keep us, how do we get it? Now, this is an important point because it means we could spend, if we don't get this point, we could spend our days and lives and years reading the Bible, going to church services, going to crusades, serving in ministry, and still not have discretion and understanding. Can I fill you in on a big secret? The Church of the Living God is not the Georgia public school system. There is more to whole understanding than showing up, taking notes, and trying to use what you know. This is not a curriculum. It is not a degree program. This is a walk with God. A walk with a living God. A real God. This is a relationship. So we have to understand the process of how knowledge and wisdom combines to create whole understanding. It all depends on what's going on in your mind. Now, maybe it will be helpful to think of knowledge and wisdom like Legos. Y'all know what Legos are? Everybody know what Legos are? All right. You know, they are those things that connect together. Do you know that Legos actually makes different kits? Like some kits, if you put them together, they'll look like a spaceship or a building or a car or all kind of different stuff. And usually those kits have a very cool picture on the box of what it will look like when you put it together. Now, no matter what kind of kit you buy, the Legos in one kit can attach to the Legos in another kit. Problem is, if you mix them up, you are not going to build the picture that is on that box. If you can pull up Romans 8 and 6. Paul writes, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul is saying, hey, just use the Legos that come out the right box. Don't use the Legos that aren't in this box. There's one box called life and peace, and all of those Lego pieces are spiritual, which is the word. But there's another box. It's called carnal, and all those pieces lead to death. Now, a person can totally embrace the world, be conformed to the world, by just using the Legos from the box called carnally minded. If you do, you will develop worldly discernment and worldly understanding. Not necessarily evil understanding, but worldly understanding, carnal. Contrary to much of our preaching and teaching, rejecting God is not necessarily an express trip to becoming an alcoholic or a drug addict or a broken family or being destitute. And we see this in real life. Solomon talked about this. There are lots of people outside of the church who appear to be doing fine, better than fine sometimes, and all of them aren't hiding some huge problem. But their understanding and discernment is worldly. They examine the world with worldly understanding, and that gives them worldly options. They may lead to a successful career or profession, but that understanding never brings them to eternity with God. It will never break spiritual yokes that come at them or their family. Although they may enjoy life, they are never led into the life they were built for. They doom themselves to use their talents outside of God's will. And although it may be fun, it might even be profitable, they never get that satisfaction that only comes from knowing you are exactly where God wants you and you're doing exactly what you were built for. That no matter what happens, all things work together for your good. That no matter what it looks like, no weapon against you shall prosper. With worldly understanding, you never know. You can never get that if you walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil because God is with you. You don't get that insurance package that makes it possible to have peace that passes all understanding or joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, that's the worldly box, the carnal box. Now, if you're only using Legos from the spiritual box, your life looks like the picture on that box. That's why you don't try to get by reading as little Bible as possible, because you aren't going to build that picture on the box if you only take out two or three Legos. You need more. In fact, you try to get as many of those Legos as possible so you can build the picture faster. And as you get more biblical knowledge and wisdom, you provide yourself with the ingredients that set you up to gain understanding. And I'll explain how this becomes understanding in a little bit. But before I explain, I need to tell you about the three options that all of us are given. There's only three options. Option one is you pick your Legos, your knowledge and wisdom, from the worldly box, the carnal box. You gain worldly knowledge, understanding that will serve you in the world, except against spiritual issues. In the end, it will produce death. You will be conformed to this world, and your life will look like the outside of that box, which is always changing. Option two. You can pick your Legos, your knowledge and wisdom from the spiritual box and gain life and peace. You'll be transformed and your life will look like the outside of that box, which happens to look like Jesus Christ. You become Christ-like. But there is an option three where you pick Legos from both boxes because for some reason you like the picture on both boxes. So you think if you use both, it will be awesome. But if one box of Legos builds a yellow school bus and the other box of Legos builds a gray elephant and you like them both, combining them will not give you the best of both worlds. It will give you an abomination. It won't be pleasing to God, but more than that, it won't be pleasing to you. First off, you won't be able to be like the world because your convictions and the Spirit of God will keep messing that up. And you can't be like Jesus and walk with power and authority because you keep planting thorns that choke out the word. Option three is the most frustrating option because you have given yourself access to both worlds and have guaranteed you will never succeed in either of them. And what's worse is that if you have a glass of poison and a glass of water, and you know the poison will kill you and the water will preserve you, mixing a glass with half and half won't kind of preserve you or kind of kill you. It will probably put you in agony and then eventually kill you. If you are not spiritually minded, you are carnally minded. That's why Solomon said that even though wisdom is the principal thing in all you're getting, you need to get understanding. Because having access to the spiritual Legos is not enough unless they build spiritual understanding that gives you spiritual discernment that will preserve you and keep you. Somebody in here is probably thinking, enough already, we get it. Tell us how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Someone's thinking, we get it, we need knowledge and wisdom from God's word as the ingredients, but somehow there's a process where these things get cooked into understanding. But tell me how. Again, I'm glad you asked. At this point, I should check my time. Last time I got in real trouble. Knowledge and wisdom is very much like Legos or like a puzzle. Maybe a puzzle is a better example. How many of you all have ever put a puzzle together that was like 50 pieces or more? Show of hands. All right. Or started to. Got to keep it real in here. Now, you know in a puzzle, right, when you're trying to do something like that, you put the edge pieces in a pile and the pieces of the same color in a pile. You put them together in the hopes that you can find some that match, right? And you sort through them, just kind of like how you sort through the Word of God, reading it or hearing it preached or taught in a class. And while you're getting this knowledge, you'll find something that connects, like give and it shall be given to he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And even though you don't really understand the deeper spiritual principle, you know that those two edge pieces go together, so you connect them. And that means when you find another piece somewhere else, you have a connection of three, not just another connection of two. Now, obviously, you get these puzzle pieces through reading the word and hearing it preached and taught, but it's actually more than that. It's not that you memorize the Bible or you use the concordance or a computer program to pull up all scriptures on a certain topic. But what happens is, as you read the word of God, God himself brings to mind those pieces that you connected before. Or maybe while you're looking at pieces that you connected before, he directs you to the next piece that turns that knowledge into wisdom. You know, often in prayer, I'll be praying in the spirit, maybe about something, maybe about nothing. And God will lead me to think about some puzzle pieces. And then he brings up another puzzle piece that I knew I had, but I never ever tried to connect it. But when I connect them, now I'm looking at something that I've never seen before. Same thing can happen when you're reading the word. And I could be reading, you know, my daily dose or whatever, but then a specific scripture just seems to jump off the page at me for no reason. I've learned that this is God's way of saying, hey, I want to show you a puzzle piece. I want to connect some puzzle pieces. I want to do some transformation. Y'all remember how Moses saw the burning bush? It's kind of God's way of inviting him into something great. Well, this dynamic I'm talking about is it's like a mini burning bush experience, and you get to decide whether you're just going to keep on reading the Bible and get your daily quota, or if you're going to turn aside and actually let God speak to you through his word. Now, some of you do not know what I'm talking about. No, if not because something's wrong with you. Seriously. We are all in different stages in the Lord. Question is, how fast are you moving? That's all other scripture. Anyway, I came up with an example to kind of explain how this has worked for me. And it's an audience participation exercise, but you don't have to speak too much. And some of you have heard this example before, so bear with me. I want you all to listen to what I'm going to read, and let's see if the same sentence jumps out at everyone, that there might be something more there. There might be something more to it, okay? Everybody ready? All right. It's not deep. The day was cool and breezy in the city. The birds flew in the clear sky, flying here and there in a carefree manner, landing on trees. In the distance, a cloud could be seen forming. The dogs in the park playfully chased squirrels who ran up the tree. I'll read it one more time, because it's that interesting. The day was cool and breezy in the city. The birds flew in a clear sky, flying here and there in a carefree manner, landing on the trees. In the distance, a cloud could be seen forming. The dogs in the park playfully chased squirrels who ran up the tree. Now, what sentence kind of seemed like there might be a little something else to it? The cloud. I mean, what's up with that cloud? We don't know. I have no idea what the cloud is about, and I wrote the sentence. But that's how it is when you're reading the word. You may come to a scripture and read it just like the others. It might be the 200th time you've read that scripture. You may even know it by heart. But this time, when you read it, something kind of gets you, like there's something else going on. When that happens, that is a burning bush. Do not pass it by, because you are passing up your burning bush experience. That is the Holy Spirit. God himself is flagging a puzzle piece. You stop. You think about it. The Bible would say meditate on it. Maybe you can do what I do. I call it chewing the cud. I just say it over and over in my mind, just churning over the scripture. You can almost guarantee that God is going to start bringing other puzzle pieces to your mind, show you how they connect. Sometimes the connection is just some small additional insight. You know, every walk with God is not by the ocean. Everybody's expecting like fireworks and all kind of cannons going off when you walk with God. Sometimes you walk in an alley, you know. Sometimes the connection is to a sermon you heard before. Sometimes the connection is the answer or direction you need in the biggest trial of your life. But whatever it is, you are either connecting puzzle pieces or God is putting that piece firmly in your hand because he's going to connect something to it later on. Now, understanding comes when you keep going through that process so much that the assembled puzzle pieces are so clear that you can actually compare them to the worldly puzzle pieces that you have assembled in the past. And for the first time, you can look at both chunks of the puzzle and choose the spiritual one. It clicks. You say, this old way of thinking doesn't make sense given what I now see in the Word of God. I really get it. Going forward, I'm going to follow this new wisdom, not just because I learned about it or I know about it, but now I recognize that it is superior to the world's version. And making choices in this area is no longer simply obeying the word, but you honestly know that the world's option doesn't make sense. You don't cheat the restaurant by lying about the age of your child so you can get a cheaper price. Hello, Mr. Conviction. Nice to see you. But listen, you don't do it not because the Bible says don't do that. You do it because you know it makes no sense to give up the promises of God that only come to those who trust and depend on him just so you can save $2.50. It no longer makes sense. By the way, the worldly puzzle pieces of understanding that you're now abandoning for this new understanding, do you know what that old world, that old worldly understanding is? Those were the stones in your stony ground. The word, all those connected puzzle pieces, has convinced you that the old stones, the old thinking, needs to be removed. Those stones were always there, and the only reason you and I didn't move them earlier was because we didn't have the whole understanding of why they shouldn't be there in the first place. We may have had wisdom that told us to remove them, but there were too many puzzle pieces of worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge that told us, I'm not ready to remove that boulder yet. Something bad's going to happen if I don't let that stay there. The ground's going to cave in. Those stones can also be thorns because you know you have understanding that those old puzzle pieces can't profit and that they are actually choking out what God is trying to do. When you are in a Bible study or you hear the word preached and something jumps out at you, even if it's just like a side note to the message, but something jumps out at you, write that thing down. That's a burning bush experience. God wants to connect the dots and either give you more wisdom or to connect that wisdom into understanding, and through that process, you become transformed. Now, let's recap real quick, shall we? You understand what knowledge and wisdom is, right? They are the ingredients for understanding. You know you need to get as much wisdom and knowledge as possible. You know that there is spiritual knowledge and wisdom. There's carnal knowledge and wisdom. They're two different Lego boxes. You gather the pieces you want to use, so choose your box wisely. But I need to explain how the spirit and faith comes into play, because you don't get to whole understanding without both the spirit and with faith. If the spirit that prompts you to connect, that prompts you to connect the puzzle pieces of knowledge and wisdom. You do not have to know your whole Bible. God shows you what he wants you to get now. I need to back that statement up. Someone's crying heresy. Let's pull up John 16:12. This is right before the crucifixion. Jesus told his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice he did not say in an afternoon. Now that confirms that the Spirit is the one that leads us in connecting the puzzle pieces. But the deeper point I want to make is that after 3 years of spending intimate personal time with Jesus, Jesus is still saying, I've got stuff I can't tell you because you can't get it yet. How many of you have read your Bibles through from front to back before? Not trying to shame. How many of y'all done that? Let me ask you a question. When you finished did the heavens open up? And did an angel descend in front of you and declare that you now have all truth and revelation? Go forth and walk in it. The nays have it. Here's another question. How many of you, when reading your Bible through, like for the second or third time, you get to a passage or a chapter, or even in my case, an entire book, and it's like someone just put a whole new book in your Bible? You know you read it before. You got the little check marks that you covered that thing. But it's like it was opened up to you in a deeper way. We read the whole book because you want to get as much flour and eggs as you can, but read it knowing that a lot of it's just going to go into your pantry and might not get pulled out for a while. Just because you don't think you're getting something out of the word does not mean you're not getting anything. Because we know the Spirit of God will bring to our remembrance those things he wants to connect when we are ready for that revelation. It requires this type of walk with God to obtain whole understanding. I guess I should do the thing for the musicians. Pastor isn't that wise, let me up here. God's gonna get me for that. But all this talk of knowledge and wisdom and puzzle pieces and the Spirit leading you to connect them until they form and understanding is well and good. But you never really replace those stones with biblical understanding without an act of faith. You'll get it. You'll have wisdom about it. But the test comes when life presents you with a situation that demands you either stick with the worldly understanding or if you take action based on the puzzle pieces God has led you to put together. The whole thing of conviction, that's God saying, hey, these puzzle pieces are in your hand. This is a moment. Walk by faith. As a matter of fact, if you get conviction, you need to get excited. Seriously. God is there with some cement ready to just put that thing, that worldly understanding, deep in where it's going to be hard to get knocked out. But it requires your faith. Your faith pushes the button. When you follow the biblical understanding, that is when you truly place those biblical puzzle pieces into the understanding of your life. That's when you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because at that point, once you've done it, when the choice, one, you've opened up the door for God to show himself strong on your behalf, which he is in the business of doing. It's a rather glorious thing if you haven't experienced it. I highly recommend it. The Christian walk is not a walk of grit determination, trying to obey every commandment with your carnal strength. It's being transformed by the renewing of your mind, picking up spiritual knowledge and wisdom from the word, from preaching, letting the Spirit of the living God guide you into connecting those puzzle pieces together until they're clear enough for you to choose them instead of your old worldly understanding. It gives you discretion. And then by faith, you obey that discretion and you act in your understanding. If you could stand. I'd like to pull up Mark 4 and 13. This is right after Jesus gave the parable of the sower and the seed. And his disciples asked him, what does that parable mean? What is all this stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground stuff? And Jesus responded, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? That's a profound statement. Because in effect, Jesus is saying, if you can't get this, you won't get anything. All of our spiritual disciplines are good. Coming to church, reading the word, praying, serving, that is all good. It's all godly. But if it is not a walk with God that allows us to be led into whole understanding, then we make ourselves just like another person who calls himself a Christian, but who is anything but. There's another scripture I wanted to read. I put it down here if I didn't go over, and I didn't go over. It's Romans 7 and 14. It's Paul talking. It's describing the life of the person who has biblical knowledge and wisdom but lacks understanding. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good, because I don't want to do it. I'm agreeing. Amen, brother. Mix the eggs. I agree. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, which is my flesh, nothing good dwells." It's talking about carnality. "For to will is present. I want to do what's right. But how to perform it when the moment of truth comes? What is good I do not find." He continues in verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members." There's another puzzle box out there. "I see boulders. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, warring against the knowledge and the wisdom I'm hearing in church and reading. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." To show he knows the law. He delights in it. He will yell amen when it's preached. And yet he's still having issues. So how do you get out of this? Romans 7, 24. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ that leads us to put the puzzle pieces together, where we have the understanding, where when it comes, it is not a wrestling match between what I'm trying to do in the Bible and what my entire nervous system's trying to do. I already have it. I see it. It's clear. God himself has led me to it. And all I have to do is operate in faith. We seek transformation, victory, operation in the supernatural, but it comes through a renewing of the mind, guided not by our ingenuity, but by the Spirit of God himself. So take advantage of what's here. Bible studies, Wednesday night. Keep it coming. Fill your pantry. Rack up some recipes. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Why don't we come to the front? Why don't we ask the Lord to connect these pieces in our mind? Let us leave at least having it solid in our mind on how God does this thing. Maybe this has put another perspective on your walk with God. Every day in the Lord should be a different day, because I tell you, he does not run out of puzzle pieces. And he knows exactly where you are in your life right now. He knows exactly what you need to connect at this very moment. When the Lord speaks to you, he doesn't give you the second most important thing you need. He is a God who is on point all the time. Amen. So let's spend some time with the Lord. Let's let him minister in our lives right now. In Jesus' name.